Hello and welcome to another video podcast, Manna. My name is Jeff Glenn and I'm a pastor here at Lighthouse, and it's my pleasure to take you through the Word each week. This week, actually starting this week, I thought we would take a look at Genesis for the next little while, actually, not just literally today, but not down to the nitty-gritty each week, but more like a 50,000-foot view, kind of chapter by chapter, and maybe every once in a while hitting some of the highlights in these chapters, but really just trying to take a high flyover of Genesis. And while Genesis isn't the first book of the Bible, Job gets that credit, but it is the first in the series of books of the Bible because it does explain the origins, and it's the book that we go to for that. So Genesis begins with this big, broad statement that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so for the sake of time, we won't read through these. I would suggest that would be a great time for you to read through and meditate. So we'll get all of chapter 1 today, just the highlights here. But this big, broad statement that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it finishes with the end of the sixth day. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so everything that's in between is these 6 days of creation that we see. And so from this ending here, he saw that everything indeed was very good. So we already know that we're reading a good book, pun intended. But we see here through these 6 days God is creating. And it's a uniquely creative work, yes, because he does speak everything into existence, but we also see a redemptive work here in display from the very beginning when God divides the light from the darkness and providing this boundary for the darkness that was hovering over the face of the waters. And so God, as he speaks this light into being, provides confinement for the light, showing that he has dominion over it. And so as we continue through the creation account, you know, we see the first day here is the boundary of the day and night. On the day two, we see this creation of the firmament, and this is a weird word, but it's thought to mean some kind of a boundary between the waters that were above and the waters that were below. And remember, this is during creation and what becomes the garden. And so a much different world pre-flood. And so it's thought that firmament was removed or destroyed during the flood. But nonetheless, the firmament is described as this boundary between the waters above and the waters below in the creation account here. And it was set in the heaven. God set it in the heaven. And in the language used in the Bible, in the Greek and Hebrew, heaven has three meanings. It can mean the sky, it can mean the abode of the stars, and it can also mean the abode of God. And so where exactly this firmament was set seems to be in the sky, from what we'll see here later. But that isn't the main point, but it's just a weird word and it's worth noting. So on day three, we see the gathering together of these waters under heaven. And we see the sea and the earth have their boundaries, and then the earth bring forth grass, herbs, and fruit, all at the command of God. God is speaking this, and it happens. And day four, we see the creation of these two great lights, the sun and the moon, and their command over the sky at daytime and nighttime. And then on day five, God commands that the waters abound with living creatures and the air to abound with fowl to fly across the face of the firmament of the heavens, and in the sea for there to be sea creatures, and not just sea creatures, but great sea creatures. And not only great in size, but great in magnitude and extent, in number and intensity. And so we don't have a small God here. We have a big God who's making big things. And so this is where God gives his first blessing. And he's blessing these living creatures and calling them, commanding them to be fruitful and multiply, to blossom and to increase. again, not a small God with small ideas, but a big God with big ideas. And on day six, we see that God creates the rest of the living creatures of the earth, the wild beast and the domestic beast, that cattle and all of that, and mankind. We see God creating mankind here. And so God has done all of this, not from the toil of his hands. He's not in a workshop like Geppetto making some kind of a puppet. He's speaking these things into being. And so I find that amazing, right? Like by mere utterance, just God speaks and all of this comes into being, the universe and all that it contains and everything that's needed for life, for our life, right? That all of that came into being through God who merely spoke. That's power. And I find that awesome. And then we see that God blesses all of that and gives it a call to action, commands it to be fruitful and to multiply. And in these commands, we see the providence of God. God is providing the way for these commands to be fulfilled. He's not demanding anything of his creation that he hasn't put in them for the ability to bring that forth. And that's also mind-blowing for me, too. You know, we see from there to today, we see a creation that is obedient to God, right? You know, we see it in the seasons. You know, in the Magic Valley right now, it's harvest. And so we see all of these crops that are coming to fruit. They're become fruitful. They have multiplied. We've sown the seed, and now we're reaping the harvest. You know, the corn and the tomatoes and, you know, all the rest, right? The barley and the wheat and all the rest. We see the animals, right? The calves, the other small animals that were born in the spring, they're now growing into young adult animals that go through the winter and march on towards their fulfillment of God's command to be fruitful and multiply. And so I just love seeing that this obedient creation to God to fulfill his command to be fruitful and multiply. All of creation is bent towards that, which is amazing to me. However, we do see in chapter 1 of Genesis, it ends on the sixth day. And this is the day that God created man. And kind of the ironic and almost bittersweet thing about this is the only creature that's disobedient to man. And we'll see that later, right, as we go on. But I find that perplexing, and yet I get it, right, this disobedience that resides in us and, you know, because I've lived it. But mankind created in God's image and yet the only disobedient creature. In verse 26 of chapter 1, regarding man being created in God's image, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And so in this same creation story, he blesses man as well. He blesses us as well and commands us to be fruitful and multiply. And so the one thing that I will argue here is we see in that verse 26 is that God gave mankind dominion over creation, but he did not give man dominion or rule over his own life in the garden, right? Because we know that God alone is sovereign. So he possesses the absolute right to rule and reign and to make those decisions. So God gives man a stewardship over God's creation, dominion, the ability to make those decisions for the express purpose of bringing about that multiplying and flourishing. But it still remained God's creation. And the source of power is still the same, right? It emanates from the same one who spoke all of existence into being. And so for man to take that dominion, as we'll see later, and make his own choice about what to do with that. We'll see that. But man was created for a purpose. We were created for a purpose. You were created for a purpose, you know, to fulfill the will of God. And blessed with everything required to fulfill that purpose. And we all know how that turns out. But for today, let's just meditate for a moment on the awesomeness of our God, who withheld nothing in creation. We don't see anything here that was withheld, that man needed to add to the creation story to make it happen, right? It was all supplied by God. So everything in life for creation, for man, right? We have a universe, we have the light and the water, a planet, right? An atmosphere, food, even purpose. We have all these things. And so it's mind-blowing. And, you know, we could meditate on that all we want and never get to the end of it, but it's worth it. So I would encourage you to continue to meditate on that, God's awesomeness and his creation and what he's provided for us and how he withholds nothing for what he asks of us. And so have a great rest of your week.